It's Honorado and Miller. What's up, everybody? It's Chris and Ash on News Channel 13's Facebook, YouTube, and X, and on TV over the weekend, Saturday nights on My Four, Sunday mornings on News Channel 13. Couple of guests to get to, and a lot of just kind of stuff in the wake of two national championship games in college basketball. It's Masters Week, Major League Baseball season. There's news with the Ohtani interpreter gambling investigation happening. Why can't Kentucky find a basketball coach? There's just a lot of stuff. Yeah. You always look like, hey, what's the lead story of a show, a newscast, whatever, a headline? What's the headline of this show? I don't know.
The ladies.
I don't know. Oh.
The ladies are the headline.
This is Honorado and Miller, sponsored by Alpen House.
All right, here we go. A couple of guests, like I said, on this week's show. Ice Young, former Siena hooper and now college basketball analyst for ESPN Plus, Yahoo. She was on the court as South Carolina celebrated its undefeated national championship season with Yahoo Sports. We'll talk with Isis Young coming up. David Prescott was in the air behind the controls of his own plane during the total solar eclipse. I mean, beat that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Nobody can. I mean, the NASA photographer I spoke with for TV did say, maybe the guys on the International Space Station have it better than that, but that's as good as a civilian could do up in your own plane during the solar eclipse. We'll talk with David Prescott, who, by the way, locally in the Capital Region, owns Warbird Factory and the Prescott Foundation, which helps restore historic pieces of World War II, namely aircraft. Really, really cool place.
Scroon Lake's not a bad place to view it.
Conversation we had with him. No, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. It wasn't dark, like Lake Placid, but it got dark enough for me, cool enough for me. Mm-hmm. Well, so we'll talk with David Prescott coming up later on in the show. But Ash, you say that the women own this start of the show.
And now, Dirty, Difficult, and Done. Sponsored by Performance Industrial.
So the women own the start of this show. This is a women-owned company, woman-owned company. Karen Miller and Bill Miller heading things up at Performance Industrial, where there's never a job that's too dirty or too difficult for them to get it done.
So it feels like this has been a long time coming, but I'm in the question range here. I did a question last week, do a question this week, and I'll kind of give you my answer, but women's basketball is women's basketball and maybe even women's sports. Is all of that done taking a backseat to the men? I understand that a lot of this was about Caitlin Clark, but the overall numbers would also tell you differently in a lot of ways. And this isn't a year when the men's tournament was up. The ratings were up. The ratings were up 3% for the championship game and 3% overall. Or 4% for the championship game, 3% overall, which means more people are watching the tournament this year than they did last year. And it felt like we watched a lot of tournament.
We did. We always do.
We watched a lot of the women's tournament.
We did. And we don't always.
That is correct. And we watched some of it in person and some of it at home. But for me, this is not about it's how much of a difference the ratings were. It was 18 plus million. Mm-hmm. For the title game of the women, 14.8 for the men. Those numbers, like, that's not 4 million people, is that's not a small amount of people watching that game. I just think it's finally gotten to the point where the ladies are getting their shine. It's become a little bit trendy, and I think part of this was it started with the WNBA, the orange sweatshirt, and Kobe's love for Sabrina Ionescu and the WNBA. And it has just kept creeping. And the star power in women's college basketball has taken it to the next level. It's not only Caitlin Clark. Yes, she's a huge reason why. But it has been a long time coming. And I think now we're finally there. People are watching women's sports. And not only watching, it feels like they're enjoying it.
Yes. Okay. Let me do a couple of things here. You said it's become it has become trendy.
Yeah.
People were wearing the sweatshirts. They're now wearing t-shirts that say everyone watches women's sports. Caitlin Clark has obviously elevated the interest and attendance and ticket prices to you know, points we've never seen before. For this tournament and this year.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Done taking
yep.
it back.
Yep.
Is it? So here, is it my question is it sustainable? Right. We do this every Olympics and we do this every World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Look how many people are buying the jerseys and look at the ratings. And then it goes away for 3 years and then it comes back. And then it goes away and it comes back. Are there the stars to sustain this type of interest and success? And I don't really want to hear from the diehard college basketball fans, and we will from Isis Young, who's an analyst and more than just a fan, because those are the people who can rattle off names at the top of their head that go deep, deep, deep into the sport. Right. Caitlin Clark is the name that, you know, just transcended women's college basketball. My parents knew Caitlin Clark. I don't know that they could name a single other women's college basketball player, but they watched the games because Caitlin Clark put that sport on a platform that made it interesting and accessible to them. They're my best example of like people who wouldn't ordinarily watch. So is there somebody else who can do that? Like Paige Beckers is a really good player, but I don't think she's moving the meter the way Clark did.
No, she is for sports fans who want to watch her. And Angel Reese, I think, for different reasons. She's got some social media influence. She's a very good basketball player. She has the support of people like Shaq. There are Cameron Brinkley. There are stars.
Yes.
And I think there is enough interest that, specifically for Caitlin Clark, she will transcend to the WNBA level in that the Fever will feel the effects. Her as the number one pick, you're going to sell out the stadium almost every game is my guess. You're going to have season ticket holders. You're going to have jerseys. You take her number one for that very, very, very reason. That's even if it's the only reason, that's why you take her number one. She will make your team better. But I think as long as you can keep enough interest, like you don't need a Caitlin Clark, but you need a Paige Beckers and a somebody else. You need a couple of stars in this sport. And I think what's driving a lot of this is we saw hundreds of young girls in Caitlin Clark t-shirts. We saw
men, grown men.
We saw men. We saw young boys in Caitlin Clark jerseys and t-shirts. That is cool.
Yeah.
And that is the generation that will sustain. Because we don't need, it doesn't matter that your parents aren't going to watch next year or the year after. It matters that those kids are interested in women's sports, interested in women's basketball. Maybe they'll watch the WNBA now. And they're going to look for the next Caitlin Clark. You're not going to find her because she's a once in a every 10 year kind of thing. But they're going to now jump on the Paige Beckers bandwagon or the Angel Reese bandwagon. They're going to find those players and get behind them.
I like that. Yes, the younger generation is maybe more drawn than ever to the sport of women's college basketball. And I hope that it translates then even to like, you know, hey, do we get some like crazy ratings for the Women's College World Series? And does it just become not trendy, right? But something that translates across all female sports. That would be cool.
Listen, I talked to Jessica Mendoza last year, and she said women's sports are now more accessible than they've ever been. ESPN Plus has done wonders for women's sports because you can find so much of it. It's so easy to find. They air hundreds of softball games throughout the year. They air hundreds of baseball games throughout the year. Fringe sports, swimming. You can find these sports, particularly on the women's side, but also on the men's side, that you're not used to seeing. And that alone has driven the interest up because it's now accessible. It wasn't accessible before. It wasn't out there. And now it's kind of getting the love that it deserves. And I think that's part of the reason why, too, is just not only TV, but the ability to watch it streaming or wherever you find your video, your sports. There are so many places to do it.
It was a fun tournament.
It was awesome.
We had controversy and referee calls. We had great star play, and we'll talk with Ice Young about it a little bit later on here on the show. All right, UConn goes back-to-back, first time in almost 20 years.
Almost.
Only the third time in more than 30 years. And Kentucky can't find a coach that wants to.
First of all, Cal left.
Go to Lexington.
I mean, I woke up in the middle of the night one night and it was like, Cal's out in Kentucky. And I thought, I'm not sure what just happened.
We roll on next.
Make this camping season the best one yet. It's our annual open house event here at Alpen House RV. We're offering massive savings on all remaining 2023 inventory. And bring your trade because we're ready to offer top dollar. Browse at your convenience. We'll have every RV open for viewing as well as free food and drinks every Saturday in April. It's your last chance to take advantage of preseason incentives and special interest rates. And if you purchase during our open house event, you'll receive a campfire fun kit. Visit us at alpenhouse.com. Or come see us in Amsterdam and Saratoga.
At Marcella's Appliance Center, our commitment is to you, providing essential appliances that families depend on for cooking, refrigeration, cleaning, and sanitation, plus appliance repair. You can have peace of mind that Marcella's is here for you today and every day, like we have been since 1957, helping you make the right choice with trusted brands like Whirlpool, Maytag, KitchenAid, and many more. Shop Marcella's Appliance Center in-store, online, or by phone. We're here for you.
And now, back to Honorato and Miller. Sponsored by Alpen House.
Shout out to all those local business partners, Alpen House, Marcella's, Novice, Performance Industrial, Saratoga Casino Hotel.
Bev's.
Bev's, thank you. Bev's, yep, your only option for all of your beverage needs in the capital region with locations in, I'm going to mess this up, but I'll go Malta, Saratoga Springs, Wilton, and Queensbury. That's right. Okay. My memory hasn't gone completely just yet. Oh, let me throw, hang on a second here, because you're getting a little bit of love out there. Barbara says, great to see you. Love your input.
Hi, Barbara. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, UConn men go back-to-back. First team to do it since Florida, those Billy Donovan, Joakim Noah, Al Horford, Corey Brewer days of 06, 07. Boy, there's a heck of a team, huh? Yeah. That Florida team will have more impactful NBA players than this UConn squad.
Than this one, yeah.
But this UConn squad is what the kids call a wagon. I mean, they just steamrolled people.
Do the kids say that, or do we say that?
I don't know. Maybe the kids used to say it. They just steamrolled people. What, 15, 16 straight NCAA tournament covers?
Yeah.
Covers and double-digit covers. I thought 6.5 against Purdue. I'll play the Purdue side of things because they have enough shooting around Edie. The guard play is pretty good. Nobody did jack squat in that game other than Zach Edie.
Yeah,
Nobody.
He was good.
So UConn said, go ahead, dude. Get yours inside. The twos aren't going to beat us. The threes would. Purdue couldn't make a shot to save their lives. Edie was good. But anyway, the focus here should be on the Huskies and what Danny Hurley has done with this program. Incredible.
I mean, we both said it last week. When is the last time you remember a team like this doing what they're doing? And the answer both of us said, like, we do not remember a team like this.
Right. People would tell you UNLV, and that was a team that failed to win back-to-back titles. The last, 91-92 Duke did it, 06-07 Florida did it, and now UConn. And I think UConn is the best of those three teams. Again, we talked about the NBA talent on the Gators, but UConn is the best, probably, of those three teams. And the Duke team, you're talking about Hurley and Leitner and Hill. I think this UConn team's better. Deep.
At least in the way that they're doing it. Yes. Like you said, though, I don't know that they have, you know, professional talent the way that you think of, you know, those Duke teams and those Florida teams. But that you don't always need that.
No,
and
I know.
And we've
seen
that before. There are a lot of times when you see those mid-majors and we talk about the experience and the senior-ladenness of those teams. And that's not this UConn team, but there are different ways to win. And sometimes you can do it with professional athletes like Andre Jackson Jr., who was on that UConn team last year. But
Jordan Hawkins was
that
a lottery
UConn
pick,
team looks a lot different this year than they did last year. And they did it with transfers and new guys. When you win, it helps. Dan Hurley's job gets made easier by winning a championship. Guys want to go play there, but you still have to get the guys to go there and you have to get the right guys to go there. And he did that.
Yeah. what is happening at Kentucky? Now, I had this, I'll get to my thought that I think fits perfectly into this, but the decision from John Calipari to leave for Arkansas.
It's a weird one.
Like, all of a sudden goes, whoa, okay. Situation in Kentucky was not good. He was feeling the heat from, I'm sure, the donors and the fan base, and then was probably kind of sick of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I have us a top 10 ranked team every year. Yes, the tournament success is lacking, but get off my back kind of thing. And he probably figured, you know what, I'm making 8.5 here. I can go get close to that somewhere else in Arkansas.
Where there are no there will be expectations now, but where there are no real expectations to win tomorrow.
Right, but if Cal gets Arkansas to the Elite Eight next year, they will be elated. If he did that at Kentucky, they would go, you didn't win a title. And I would be in that camp. They would say, you didn't win a title. Mm-hmm. So there are expectations, but there are different levels, like you said. Okay. So you were surprised that Cal left.
I mean, stunned.
I wasn't surprised that he left. I was surprised he left for Arkansas. I mean, I don't know where else he would have gone.
He's gone, and he's already at Arkansas. Like, when it came out, it was like, not only is he gone, he's already signed somewhere else.
Yeah. Who's the Walmart guy? I mean, there's money in Arkansas. Yeah. So interesting. Eric Musselman leaves the Razorbacks for USC. USC is the perfect place for John Calipari. It's too bad that didn't work out. Cal is Hollywood. Oh. He's not Lexington, Kentucky. He's not Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Cal is really nice suits, expensive shoes, slick hair. He is Hollywood. Musselman's a wild man, though. That'll be fun to watch out there.
More like New York City than Hollywood.
Okay. My question is, why can't Kentucky find a coach? Nobody wants this job. The latest name now is Scott Drew, who says, I'm staying at Baylor. I'm good. And I have a couple of thoughts on this.
Yeah.
One, you don't have to be the coach of a blue blood anymore in order to win, and the transfer portal changes that. You don't have to go into a kid's house and sell them on North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, UCLA. You can play anywhere and get to the NBA. You can play anywhere and you'll be on TV. You can play anywhere and you will get good NIL money, right? You now recruit with the NIL aspect of things, as opposed to, look at all the banners we have. No 18-year-old cares about the banners from the 60s and 70s. How much am I going to get paid to play for your program? That's what kids now care about. So it creates more of a level playing field in some ways. But I also thought, maybe Kentucky basketball is Notre Dame football. It's a really good program, but it is not elite the way we old people think about it. It's a really good job. It's a top 10 job. Same as Notre Dame football. That's a top 10 job. But it's not, you can't lean on history and past success and say we are still an elite program. They aren't.
The difference is Marcus Freeman has to recruit really good students.
Fair. Okay.
Versus Kentucky, no offense.
Yep.
Kentucky, there is not the expectation of Notre Dame. And that's the hardest part about being a coach at Notre Dame.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not you're right. I'm not making that academic comparison. I'm talking about the fan base that just is unrealistic. Mm-hmm. Right?
This is it.
Okay.
Sam is
really
right.
Though?
Yes, because if you're Scott Drew, if you're Bruce Pearl, if you're any other name that you could think of, you can make millions and be where you are at Auburn or Baylor and get to the Sweet 16. And that's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
It is good enough. That's not good enough at Kentucky. So are they going to pay someone $8? Probably not. But are you going to like $6? You're going to go make $6 at Kentucky versus $4 somewhere else and not have the expectations of I either make it to the Final Four or I get fired.
So who do you want to see hired as head coach at Kentucky?
Well, we've already got a no from Hurley and a no from Scott Drew.
Yep.
I think Bruce Pearl would be fascinating.
But is that a better job than Auburn?
Yeah, sure, it's better.
Okay.
But I don't think he'll leave it. I don't know. Who would be fun? You know what? Maybe Chuck should go coach them. How fun would that be? Charles Barkley.
Oh.
I mean, I don't think he's ever coached in his life, right?
No. You know, look, I jokingly said I want to see Rick Pitino go back.
I know you
said I've had people laugh at me, and that's fine. How about his son? How about Richard Pitino? Richard Pitino, you know, struggled at Minnesota.
Yep.
But he had New Mexico in the tournament this year. They were a sexy first-round upset pick that didn't come to fruition. But how about Richard Pitino?
Yeah, and I think that's fair because here's the thing. All of the mid-major names have already moved on to their next stop. And you're not hiring a mid-major coach or even like a...
Could you get a Buzz Williams or a Mick Cronin to leave?
Sure.
What about Sean Miller? I think Sean Miller's an interesting name out there.
And you know he'd say yes in a heartbeat.
There's no doubt about it.
He'd say yes in a heartbeat.
All right, I'm on Sean Miller and Richard Pitino.
Are you wary of
no.
the problems?
Nope. Want to win. The book is open now. Sean Miller was doing shady deals. Oh, no, I'd be so upset by this.
I know. It's too... I think Tony's too good for this.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Me too.
If I could pick a coach for my team in any sport, Tony Bennett would be the guy after Brian Snicker. The stuff with Sean Miller happened when the shady deals were necessary.
Well, they're
right?
necessary
and,
now, too.
And he just got caught. Now you can open up the book and you've got NIL money and here you go.
Doesn't mean it's
not
shady.
Take whatever you want. No, but it's all front-facing now. Sure. We're paying these guys. Come on. I got a car dealership that's going to give you $2 million next year. You can do things out in the open. Mm-hmm. So, the stuff that happened with Sean Miller in Arizona wouldn't scare me off.
Okay.
I think it's fascinating. John agrees with me. By the way, hello, John Franz. Yeah, I just think Miller would be interesting. That's my Tony Bennett take there. All right, quick time out here on Honorado and Miller. We've got two guests still to come on the show, and we feel like we could go all day down some of this. Why don't we hit this, though, real quick, though, and then we'll get to Ice Young in a second. This is news that broke on Thursday. O.J. Simpson has died, 76 years old, from a bout with cancer. How much of his legacy is on the field versus off the field?
For anyone under the age of 40, his legacy is entirely off the field.
Well, even I don't remember him playing football.
But that's what I mean.
Yeah.
For anyone under. So for anyone under the age of 45, his entire legacy is off the field, which means there aren't a lot of people on this earth still, half maybe, that would say his legacy is on the field.
Yeah.
For me, it's off the field.
Heisman Trophy winner, first running back ever to go for 2,000 yards in a single season. But yes, the overarching headlines of O.J. Simpson's life will forever be that double murder trial.
Yeah, I mean.
And then the nearly decade he spent in prison after that, from like 07 to 17. Yeah.
The White Bronco, the chase, the whole thing I remember I was in a McDonald's with my grandfather and my brother watching the chase on TV.
Yeah.
There's a 30 for 30 about that day.
He was also, a great commercial pitch man, which, you know, it was done because of his success on the football field, but it did not take place on the football field. So you would say greater than 50% is off the field. His legacy.
For sure.
Landslide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think you're wrong, Ash. I don't think you're wrong.
It doesn't help that almost everyone thinks he did it. Like if it was real, like, no, it doesn't help.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Isis Young, former Siena Hooper, current college basketball analyst on the show next.
I'm Jeff Uglick. I'm owner of Bev's and we're a beverage center in upstate New York. You're just going to have that wow component when you come in, like, wow, look at this place. It's bright. It's clean. It has everything that I need. Consumer is king. Be able to provide them a friendly environment and a place to shop no matter where they are, whether they're down here in Saratoga or whether they're up in Queensbury. You're always going to get the same experience when you shop at Bev's. At the end of the day, if you walk in these stores, you're going to see a lot of people that have a lot of pride.
It's always a good time there.
It doesn't matter where. It's always a good time.
Play to win a 2024 Chevy Camaro convertible through June 29th. Celebrate 20 years of good times at Saratoga Casino Hotel. Learn more at SaratogaCasino.com.
And now, back to Honorato and Miller. Sponsored by Alpenhaus.
Not only did the women's championship game outrate the men's title game for the first time ever, I mean, it blew it out of the water. And no one's surprised. I mean, look, we give a lot of love to the fact that Caitlin Clark has elevated this sport like maybe nobody else has before. Not saying she's the best player. I'll let somebody else say that if they want to. But when you pit her up against an undefeated team in that title game, the numbers show exactly just how interested everybody was. I was right there along with them. Somebody who was there on the court at the celebration of the undefeated South Carolina Gamecocks is Isis Young. She was a bucket for Siena, and now she's doing big things with ESPN and Yahoo. Let's welcome her in to Honorato and Miller here. Isis, we call her Ice Young. Isis, it's great to see you. It's not that long ago you and I were hanging out on the sideline of a gym rat game.
Yeah. It's so good to see you too. Thanks so much for having me on. I spent a brief, and I mean brief, day in Albany for the Sweet 16. And so it's one of those days where, like, you can only go in, you can go out. You know, you can't text friends and be like, hey, I'm here, come see me. Because I was in and out in literally like 31 hours. But it's so good to see you.
It's good to see you too. Thanks for doing the show here. Ash and I, believe it or not, we did sneak out to that Iowa-Colorado game. We caught the tail end of UCLA-LSU, which was a great game.
Yeah.
Let's start with the champs, though, right? We will talk about Caitlin Clark, of course. But when you get an undefeated champion and what now is trending towards a little bit of a dynastic run for South Carolina, your impressions of the job Dawn Staley has done are what?
Yeah, tremendous, fantastic. Like all the superlatives that you can think of. I mean, describe this. This is supposed to be a rebuild year. Like, we're going to have to redefine what rebuild means, or we can no longer call it that because she's completely shattered that. Like, who rebuilds to an undefeated 38-0, a national title, the first Black coach to have three of those? And just the way in which she put her roster together. You know, I love the way in which, yes, there was a couple of transfers that she got that were key in Tahina Pau-Pau. I love the way that Carmelo Cardoso inside developed under Dawn Staley. I mean, she had to play several years behind Aaliyah Boston, which I'm sure those were tough practices, and several years in the spotlight of Aaliyah Boston. And it was finally her time. She was ready to go. I think that's a credit to how Dawn develops her players. And then her freshmen. I mean, no one expects freshmen to drop 19 points, a season high, in a national championship game. Tessa Johnson has been fantastic. Obviously, the world, I think, should know who Malaysia Fawiley is. If you haven't, just Google her name, and it's highlight reels, like every other play, every other clip, it seems like that. So honestly, Chris, I am just most impressed with how Dawn put this tremendous group of women together who were players that had played for her, that had grown, who were players that transferred in, that grew their game, and then the freshmen that were ready. She needed all depth on that, and by far they were the deepest team in the country. But when you've got to worry about 11 starters, like seriously, like playing against 11 starters, I don't know how you do it. And clearly no one else could deal with it either. They were undefeated.
Well, far be it from me to criticize the approach of Hall of Fame coaches, but I really thought LSU waited, you know, like 38 minutes too long to make a defensive adjustment on Caitlin Clark. Did Dawn Staley learn something from that LSU game, or would she have made that defensive adjustment anyway, do you think?
Yeah. You know what? I think we have to give a lot of credit in this conversation to UConn and the way that UConn defended Caitlin Clark. You know, you argue that UConn and Nika Mule's defense and Paige Becker's defense, I mean, really wore her down, so that in the championship game, she then had to go against Raven Johnson. She then had to go against Bree Hall and just the tremendous athleticism that South Carolina has. I thought UConn did a terrific job on Caitlin. I believe they limited her to 6 points just in the first half alone. And just, you know, Nika Mule, I think, showed the rest of the world, like, okay, there is defense that can compete with her offense, right? She's not going to score zero, but if you can get a day in which Caitlin Clark only has 6 points at the half, like, you played a fantastic half of basketball. But yeah, I thought LSU just didn't have the game plan that they needed. You know, there are so many other factors that these coaches are worrying about, right? Like, if you're defending Caitlin Clark, that means you're spending 100% of your energy on defense. And then, which, you know, LSU, not a very deep team. They need all five of their players to play offense. And so maybe she just had to pick her poison. That's what Caitlin Clark forces you to do. She picked the wrong poison. But I thought by far that UConn and Nika Mühl had defended Caitlin Clark the best. That includes the South Carolina game.
Any surprise at all at how much interest there was in these games and how it translated nationally to the television audience ratings that broke record after, right? Like after we saw Iowa play LSU on a Monday night in Albany, I thought, okay, you know what? That's the rematch of the national championship game. Probably not going to get a better rating than that. Then UConn outdoes it. Then South Carolina outdoes it. Like any surprise on your part?
No, come on, 18 million. I think we were waiting on it. You know, I think we knew it was coming. I think with all the eyeballs that all these players have brought to the game, you know, it was a Final Four, an Elite Eight even, in which like every superstar that we had talked about all year was playing, right? Juju in USC, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, like all Paige Beckers, like Aaliyah Edwards, all the superstars we talked about, Carmelo Cardoso, they were playing. And so it was like, how can you not watch all of these games? And then, you know, the fact that Iowa was able to escape by UConn, right, I think had a big, you know, just factor into the millions of people that tuned in and watched. But, you know, I think there was just two great storylines waiting to happen. You know, if you're a basketball person, you were going to be happy either way. Either it was going to be the best scorer our game has seen win a national championship and solidify herself as one of the best college basketball players ever, or it was going to be one of the best coaches we've ever seen in a rebuild year take a team to an undefeated year. Either way, you were going to get a storybook ending. And so I think people had watched to figure out, like, which storybook are we going to celebrate? What's going to go down in history? And, you know, obviously South Carolina and the Gamecocks were able to edge themselves in history.
You know, it's funny. I'm really not as interested in the is Caitlin Clark the greatest player of all time conversation as maybe as much as I should be. I'm more interested in, like, is she the greatest influencer basketball has ever seen? And I don't know that we can really put our finger on that, because I guess we can use statistics like TV ratings and ticket sales and that type of stuff. But where would you rank her in that conversation?
Yeah. So here's what I'll say to that. I think, you know, women's basketball right now is not just a moment. It's a movement, right? Like, this has all been one big movement. Yep. And so you cannot talk about the success of Caitlin Clark and her being the reason for all these million viewers without talking about Amaya Moore, who didn't lose a college basketball game and was like, I think the best ever, 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 ever. I don't care how long she played. I think she's the best ever. You can't talk about that without talking about like Breanna Stewart, right? And UConn's dynasty, or like going back to Vivian Stringer and how she made Iowa the program it was to start with. That was years before I was born, guys. Like, yep. You cannot go through and talk about Caitlin Clark's success with bringing eyes to the game without talking about those that came before her that really paved the way for this to be an opportunity. And so I'll say that, you know, I think she's definitely one of the best that we've seen, right? Like, how can you not be if you've broken all these records and you scored all these points, but especially because of the influence? And a credit to Caitlin for, I think, how she's also handled it. I think she handled the influence and just continued to push our game forward in the best way she knew how, which was to score points and get her team to a national championship game.
Yeah, back-to-back years.
Back-to-back years.
You know, it's funny, like, when I watch her and I watch Steph Curry, it's a relatable game. Now, I'm not saying everybody can make 34-foot threes, that's easy. Right. But they're not the size of a Cheryl Miller or a Candace Parker. I can't say that they don't have the skill level of a Shamiqua Holdsclaw. Like, they do. They're both incredible passers and ball handlers. But there's something relatable about being able to go out there and just chuck it.
Yes. Yeah, I completely agree. I think, you know, we clearly say that Steph revolutionized the game, right? Yeah. In the way we look at it, like, kids before wanted to make layups first. Now it's like 2-year-olds catching the ball and like throwing it for whatever, you know, because they're like, oh, I want to be like Steph. And so, yeah, I think Caitlin has similar aspects and qualities. And from like a basketball mind analyst standpoint, very similar. The way in which she moves without the ball, how hard she works to get the ball, the little push-offs that she may get away with that also Steph does, right? Like the fact that you're right, they're in their stature. They're not huge, right? They're not dominant. It's not a Shaq or, like you said, a Candace Parker. But at the same time, they found a way to be dominant within their skill set, within their level. And what they do at like the best ever, right? Like the best that we can put on a table of all of the shooters, they are clearly and far like better than everyone else. And so I think there's definitely some similarities there. And I think there's similarities in how they've handled changing the game, you know, and it's been really cool to see from both levels.
All right. Last thing, I'm going to let you run. If South Carolina is a dynasty, if they are the closest thing, and I'm not saying they will be and can be, as it's a difficult task, but if they're the closest thing to what we saw with UConn from the early 2000s to 2014 or whatever, is that good for the sport? Is that type of singular dominant team good for the sport?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look what UConn did, right? I think UConn forced everyone else to be like, yo, we got to recruit better. Yeah. We got to be better. We got to get better coaches. Like, we have to expand our depth. Like, UConn forced everyone to catch up. Yeah. And then once they caught up, it's like, hold on, UConn hasn't won a title since 2016. Yeah. Like that's like almost a decade ago. We would have thought that was unfathomable 5 years ago. Even this year, I'm like, man, this is Geno. Are we forgetting who we're talking about here? Like, he could pull something out we've never seen, and it would be in Geno fashion. But yeah, I think they're just taking the game up another level. I think in the way in which they've done it, you know, Dawn Staley being her, that team having all of their personality, and the area in which they've done it at South Carolina to get all of that community behind them, and the conference in which they've done it, and one of the best conferences every year in the SEC. And so I think it's just teaching everyone else, like, you've got to pick your game up. You've got to find better players or make them better and develop them more. Find better assistant coaches who can raise to that level of standard, and it raises the level of standard. I think anytime we see a couple years of dominance between a team, it's like, oh, okay, they figured it out. They're clearly better. Who's going to figure it out next to top them? And that's what I'm excited about for the future women's basketball. Like, who will top them? Who will figure it out next? And then how many more stars can we get in the spotlight? I loved what Paige Becker said. She made a comment about, you know, someone had asked her, like, hey, how do you feel about taking over, you know, the Caitlin Clark stardom? So I actually hope I don't take over. Like, I hope we spread the love, right? Yep. I hope there's just more stars who get pushed forward. And there's so many more young stars in this game, the Jujus, the Hannah Hidalgo's at Notre Dame, the Michaela Williams at LSU. Like, there's so many young stars that we can get behind and continue to push forward. I so thank Caitlin for what she's done on the court and what she's done off the court to push others forward. But now it's just a time for, like, women's college basketball to be pushed forward all together, everyone in unison, and have multiple stars that we can talk about and love on.
Well, then this is a misaligned thought, but I'll throw it out there anyway. Yeah. I don't know what's next for Dawn Staley, and it's a little unfair to try to push her onto whatever is next. Like, maybe South Carolina is what's next, right? Yeah. Just continuing to win there. But the Kentucky men need a new coach, and there's some teams in the NBA that could probably use Dawn Staley. Like, I am fascinated by that prospect that she could excel. I thought Becky Hammon could do it too, just hasn't been given that opportunity. It's coming.
Yeah.
The door is being knocked on. It will be kicked down at one point.
Yeah. You know, I'll ask a question back to you. Why, if she's experienced this level of success at where she is, then why to hit the next level of success does she need to leave women's basketball? Or does she need to leave college basketball? Right? Like, I mean, Tara Vanderveer, you know, so many things that we could talk about in this season. Yes, we have to talk about Caitlin, but there are also so many other monumental moments that happen for the game. But like, if I'm Dawn, you know, there are a couple different options. Like, do you stay to outlast Tara if you can? You know, I know Geno is sitting at home like, let's go. First six games this season, baby, let's get it. You know? And so I think that there are so many different levels in which you can do it. But I think the influence, the eyeballs that she has right now on her, the way in which she's influencing young Black women, young women of color on her team, and the way in which she's just sending a message that you can be authentically you, you can have uncommon favor from God and still like be so successful and so humble. I hope she doesn't leave the college game. I think the college game needs every single second out of Dawn Staley. And I think she gets to the W, then that's awesome. And she'll take and bring those players with her. But she's shown so much support and love to the W while being in college. I would love that pipeline to continue.
And the only reason you'd leave, and look, $3.5 million is nothing to sneeze at. But the only reason you'd leave is the money. But maybe, maybe instead of leaving, what we need to do is self-correct it a little bit. And hey, this is the South Carolina program that's winning. It isn't the football program. It isn't the men's basketball program. Pay that coach. She's getting paid well, I know. But yeah, all right. Good thought. I love that. Ice, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's so good to see you. Continued success. You're killing it.
You too. Thanks so much for having me.
We're ready to help bring the vacation experience to your own home. With custom-designed Legacy Edition pools, we're confident we can turn your backyard into your own personal oasis. And we'll be by your side through the whole process. Visit our brand new showroom expansion on Route 30 in Amsterdam.
The great thing about novices, no matter who you are, they're going to put all the detail in the world into your brand. I feel like they have been a big part of my success, making me feel comfortable.
This is Harrison Butker, Super Bowl champion kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. Claim your crown.
And now, back to Honorato and Miller. Sponsored by Alpen House.
Fun talking with Ice, catching up with her a little bit. And as we said, she's doing big things. Good stuff. And I love her takes on some of the women's college hoop stuff for sure, having been a women's college hooper herself. David Prescott still to come on the show as well, but we've got a little bit of business to take care of first.
And now, Dirty, Difficult, and Done. Sponsored by Performance Industrial.
All right, Ash, you asked a question in this segment earlier. I will ask a question as well.
I like it.
Tom Brady isn't done in the NFL? What? Now, these are
not
just,
as a broadcaster.
Good. Yes, right. No, he's part of the NFL, yeah, technically, I guess, because of he's a broadcaster and he could become an NFL owner. But he might still be an NFL quarterback, I guess. Brady on a pod. This stuff just always comes back, doesn't
it? So good.
But, you know, I appreciate it because it's better than Brady being asked, do you think you'll ever play again? And he says, unequivocally, no. He did in his retirement video speech while sitting on the beach say he was retiring from the NFL for good. But he did say on a podcast recently that if a team called late in the season in kind of dire need because of an injury, like let's say the Dolphins are, you know, 4 games away from the end of the regular season. Tua goes down, season-ending injury, and they are currently sitting in first place of the AFC East. And they call Tom Brady. Is Tom Brady saying no to that? Pretty good situation.
Yeah, no doubt.
Leaves the broadcast booth, goes to the Dolphins. Maybe. Brady left the door open. He said, I would answer that call. I might be interested. I love it. I love it.
It's so annoying, though. Just go make your bajillion dollars being a broadcaster after making a bajillion dollars playing, and let people just talk about other things like women's college basketball.
We did a lot of that already.
But we don't need to talk about Tom.
Now I like to talk about the speculative NFL returns of old men.
I get it. But you know, he's had enough love in his life.
He did say, I'll always be in shape. I'll always be able to throw a football.
He wasn't always in shape in his whole life. I mean, those pictures of his Michigan days were amazing.
I mean, give the guy a poor break. My gosh.
Listen, I'm not.
Those images have shamed Tom Brady.
Look at him now. He's doing just fine.
Only eating avocado ice cream.
I don't think they've shamed him into it.
He should be enjoying some peanut butter pandemonium. Avocado ice cream.
That's why we're not making $80 bajillion.
Doing anything?
No.
All right. Another quick timeout here on Honorato and Miller. We'll wrap things up though. But first, our fun conversation here with really cool video from David Prescott's plane during the total solar eclipse.
Get on the water in style with a Barletta pontoon featuring the power of a Mercury outboard motor. You'll be slicing through the waves with a smoother, quieter ride, leaving you to relax and soak up the sun. Whether you're cruising with a family or tubing and skiing, Barletta and Mercury will give you the best ride on the lake. With their unmatched reliability and refined performance, Barletta and Mercury won't let anything hold you back from having a summer you'll never forget. So don't wait. Stop by Alpen House Boats and start your next adventure today. Check out our great selection on Route 30 in Amsterdam and online at alpenhouseboats.com.
At Marcella's Appliance Center, our commitment is to you, providing essential appliances that families depend on for cooking, refrigeration, cleaning, and sanitation, plus appliance repair. You can have peace of mind that Marcella's is here for you today and every day, like we have been since 1957, helping you make the right choice with trusted brands like Whirlpool, Maytag, KitchenAid, and many more. Shop Marcella's Appliance Center in-store, online, or by phone. We're here for you.
And now, back to Honorato and Miller. Sponsored by Alpen House.
I still cannot stop thinking and talking about that total solar eclipse. I mean, really, no matter where you were in the capital region, especially, you got to look at this thing that most people around the country did not get. So even though it was cloud covered in some spots, I don't know, to me, seeing that sun disappear was something I'll never forget. I was fortunate enough to get up to Scroon Lake, Paradox Brewery, just a little north of Scroon Lake, which was technically in the path of totality. And boy, just every step of the way watching that sun disappear and get carved out more and more. Incredible stuff. Nobody, though, had quite the view as our guest, David Prescott, who we featured in our eclipse coverage here on News Channel 13, previous to Total Solar Eclipse Day, Warbird Factory, the Prescott Foundation, just right on Albany International Airport grounds. It's an incredible place. If you have never been, check it out. If you're just finding out about it now, dig into it a little bit on your own, but we'll certainly detail it here as we welcome Dave onto the show on Honorato and Miller. You were up in the air for this, and that was what drew me so much to your story, Dave, was as a station, we were so focused on, hey, how do we get a good glimpse of this thing from the ground? You had, I mean, forget bird's eye view. I mean, you were right up there with it. Did it live up to what I believed would be such hype?
I actually think it exceeded my expectations. There were things or experiences that I wasn't expecting that were amazing. Wow.
Okay. Detail some of those for us. Because on the ground, it got dark. It got cool. I mean, there were a lot of people. It was a warm day to be in the sun. And then it got really cool and people started to throw on some sweatshirts or light jackets. It had a very, I won't say eerie feeling, but all of a sudden at 3:30 in the afternoon, it felt like nighttime. What was it like up above the clouds?
It was very similar, up in the air, but I don't know. Did you kind of notice like the air change like 30 seconds or so before totality hit? We kind of felt the same in the plane where, you know, it was almost like a swamp smell, for moments before totality hit. And then all of a sudden, we're looking around and like, oh, wait, oh, we're in total darkness now. So it's pretty amazing.
This is something I think you told me you planned for more than a year. Obviously, you are an experienced pilot, so you knew this was something that you could accomplish if you really wanted to. Did you have people behind you? I know you mentioned your son was up in the air with you as well. Did you have people behind you pushing you forward, or did you know if I'm on my own here, I'm still doing it?
Oh, I was doing this no matter what. So how could you miss something like this?
No, I don't think you could. I mean, I was impressed when you said there were so many people planning Texas to New York, if possible. You flew Syracuse to Plattsburgh. Is that right?
Oh, I didn't even make it that far.
Okay.
You know, if you think about it, the eclipse is moving across, the shadow's moving across the ground at 3,000 miles an hour, or 3,000 miles an hour almost. Yeah. And I'm in a plane going 150 miles an hour. If you got to see the eclipse for three and a half minutes, I might have been 4 minutes.
Okay. What did you get to? You said it exceeded your expectations. Take me into the cockpit here. What did you see? Even if it's similar to what we saw on the ground, what was your experience really like up there?
So one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to ensure I was in the air was knowing that it was going to be intermittently, cloudy as we came up on the weather forecast. It gave me the ability to move and change my position to ensure that we were, you know, clear of clouds. So I actually started around the Saranac Lake area and then moved further north towards the Canadian border to ensure we had a clear view of the eclipse at all times.
And were you able to, I mean, look, you're flying the plane. Are you able to get enough of a glimpse as this is progressively happening?
Oh, no, I was able to see it the whole time. We just basically kept churning the plane and almost like a racetrack, you know, pattern, you know, every 15 minutes or so of just flying a big loop, you know. And then I'll send you a copy of my actual flight path because the FAA tracks all of that. You'll notice right as we enter totality, all of a sudden I turn the plane directly, you know, to the northeast as we're trying to chase it, you know, so it's kind of neat seeing that.
What was other air traffic like that day?
So it was kind of interesting listening to the air traffic controllers because they were pretty excited about this as well. There were probably 9 or 10 other airplanes in our area up in the air. Trying to capture the same images. And the air traffic controller was so excited about it. He's like, everybody, okay, we know it's coming. We know it's coming. You don't have to be on the radio to tell us, you know? So it was pretty neat.
Who else was in the plane with you?
So I had, my son and, one of his, friends, two Eagle Scouts, from Boy Scouts, you know, to really give them that scientific push, you know, to really keep exploring and remember some of the things they learn. Always, you know, discovery is something you should be doing all the time.
We spoke with a NASA photographer who, you know, really urged people to enjoy the experience firsthand, to just immerse yourself in it and not worry about what it looks like behind a camera lens. And that's coming from a professional photographer. You've looked back on pictures and video, I know, and I know you said your son did as well. How would you compare the two, seeing it and then looking back on it?
So it's actually great that you brought that up. You actually just reminded me that is one of the driving pieces this came from. These two kids actually had the opportunity to meet an actual astronaut that traveled up to the area a few years ago to visit their Boy Scout troop. And that actually is where some of this came from. The exact same comments that you heard from that NASA photographer, and that's what they found, which is they did take video and photos from their phones. They followed what they were told, where, hey, use the protective covering over your lens to protect. And, you know, while they were intermittently switching back and forth between looking at themselves, and then when we got back on the ground and they started reviewing their video and their photos, they're like, oh, wait, this isn't even remotely close to what my mind remembers and in the actual images I know I saw.
Yeah. Incredible. All right. What's next? You've chased an eclipse. What sends you into the air the next time?
Well, got to keep history alive. So as you're aware, and you saw when you got a chance to walk around here, you know, we operate and we, you know, continue to fly a lot of World War II aircraft. So we continue our mission with flying those as well. There was one other piece that we found was interesting that the boys reminded me about. When we were in totality, you know, what was kind of interesting, and you'll be able to see it on some of the GoPro video that I'll forward you, is we could look to the north and we could look to the south and actually see daylight on both sides of us, you know, because we're right in the middle. And if you remember me telling you, you know, some of the things we were going to be looking for and we could see it, is as totality was approaching the airplane, you saw kind of like almost like a fog coming towards us, which was the darkness coming towards us. So it's kind of interesting, you know, just that whole feeling of, wow, this fog's coming right at us and boom, it hits us, you know, and then we're in total darkness. But then as we turned to chase it, as it outran us, and you'll see, you know, the whole cockpit all of a sudden, you know, be in daylight again. Yeah. It was interesting us looking out and going, knowing where the totality was as it was passing over Plattsburgh and the rest of those areas, just by looking at, you know, the almost like a fog looking area, which was the darkness.
It's a little trippy to even think about, to be honest with you. You are a Navy veteran, former nuclear engineer with the Navy. And again, the founder of the Prescott Foundation, which continues to restore history, keep it alive in the form of a lot of these incredible World War II aircrafts. The Warbird Factory is so worth checking out, everybody. I cannot tell you enough. Go see what is here in the Capital Region. It's an absolute gem of a place. I've got my parents on it. I've got my in-laws on it. We are going to plan a trip there very soon as a group. So I look forward to that. And
if we could have only brought that ESPN reporter here before she televised the the game, right?
I know. That would have been nice. Yeah. Well, it is funny. I did say it on last week's podcast, the comment of, you know, good luck finding something to do in Albany. I said, if I had been in that chair next to her, I would have been happy to tell her about the Warbird Factory. David, thank you, man. It's been great getting to know you. I appreciate the time you've given us here on News Channel 13, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Great. Thank you very much.
I'm Jeff Uglick. I'm owner of Bev's, and we're a beverage center in upstate New York. You're just going to have that wow component when you come in, like, wow, look at this place. It's bright. It's clean. It has everything that I need. Consumer is king. Be able to provide them a friendly environment and a place to shop no matter where they are, whether they're down here in Saratoga or whether they're up in Queensbury. You're always going to get the same experience when you shop at Bev's. At the end of the day, if you walk in your stores, you're going to see a lot of people that have a lot of pride.
It's always a good time there.
Play to win a 2024 Chevy Camaro convertible through June 29th. Celebrate 20 years of good times at Saratoga Casino Hotel. Learn more at SaratogaCasino.com.
And now, back to Honorado and Miller. Sponsored by Alpen House.
All right, final segment of the show here. Our thanks to David Prescott for jumping on. Our thanks to Ash for being willing to look ridiculous.
Yeah, that's how we roll.
This is how we all looked on, what day is that, Monday? And I did think to myself, we can't do better.
Not in
you know, I know they're freebies.
At least a less expensive
right? They're,
way.
They're freebies and they kind of mostly just get tossed. Mm-hmm. I understand they get recycled and reused in certain places, mm-hmm. but we have to be able to do better for freebies even. It's once in a lifetime, and this is the best we can do? The pictures of people with these on their faces.
They're
though,
classic.
It's funny.
They're fun.
Yeah. It's like telling generations that didn't live through COVID, why are you all wearing masks in every picture I see? They will then ask, why are you all wearing these ridiculous glasses mm-hmm. in the pictures that I see? All right. Fun show.
I saw the eclipse from work. Saw it about 2:45, partial. Mm-hmm. Clouds rolled in at 3, yeah. Never saw anything else. Bummer.
Yeah, that is a bummer.
Because from some experiences that I've heard, it was like a very cool, sometimes moving mm-hmm. situation.
Yeah. I wasn't in a plane, but I did enjoy it. All right, now we're on to baseball season. NFL draft is 2 weeks away.
Yep.
NBA season and NHL season rolling into the postseason.
Yep, postseason. Playoff time.
And the Masters. Not all hope is lost once college basketball season ends and March Madness is over. That's for sure. Fun show, everyone. Thanks for hanging out and watching Honorado and Miller. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.